Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Hi, my name's Ryan, and I'm one of the pastors here at Living Waters. I want to welcome you to our series on James, Ancient Wisdom for Right Now. Today, we're sharing out of James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Let me read that for you now. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Do you remember learning about light refraction in middle school? I remember using flashlights bouncing off of mirrors. I remember using lettering of different colors and light filters of different colors to change the messages that we could send to our classmates. I also remember the experiment, I'm sure you do too, where the teacher poured water into a glass and made the word held behind the glass turn upside down and backwards. So much of life is seen through the filters that we have in our lives. Some of those filters are circumstantial. Many of those filters we build ourselves. I'm reminded of a story I heard from last summer of a 2.5-year-old boy from Edmonton. I'm from Edmonton, so I think that's why it's caught my eye. This boy went with his family, obviously, to southern Saskatchewan for a family reunion on the family farm. He and his mom were in the yard playing, and his mom decided to go into the house to grab some snacks. During those few seconds she was away, something grabbed the boy's attention. In fact, the security camera on the property showed this later on, that it was only just a few seconds, but it was enough for something to capture the boy's attention, and he went running towards it out of the yard. This boy didn't realize it at the time, but what he had just begun was a 12-hour search involving 400 people putting their lives on hold to help find this boy and where he went. The great news is that they found him safe and sound, but barely. In the field, he'd fallen into a hole that was almost as deep as he was tall. They found him because two of the volunteers were riding horses through the field looking for him, and the boy saw the horses, and in sheer delight, he started giggling. They heard him, and they were able to pick him up and take him back to his family. I think that many of us have stories of getting lost as a child. Among the clothing racks at a store, in a busy church lobby, or having taken the wrong turn on the way home from a friend's house. We all know that moment of panic when we realize we weren't where we were supposed to be, and we weren't sure if we were safe. I love how last week Ricky phrased in his message that James is not the master of tact. Well, in our passage today, I think that maybe he is. In our verses today, James rings the alarm bells. He pulls the fire alarm so that there's absolutely no mistaking what he is doing for those who are wealthy. He starts clearly, "Look here, you rich people." What follows is a scathing 6 verses for those who are wealthy and are living with the wrong lens over their eyes. These verses are straightforward, honest, and intensely blunt. So before our stress levels skyrocket, or for others of us, we write the passage off as not applying to us, stick with me for a few more minutes, and let's clarify a few things. First thing, I would imagine that almost everyone that's hearing this right now would be considered wealthy. The very fact that you have a device to listen to it on, I think qualifies you in that category. My kids will often come to me and they'll say, "Dad, why don't we have everything that our friends' families have? Why aren't we keeping up with the Joneses?" They know what my answer is going to be. I say to them, if I were to take 9 other kids representing the rest of the kids in the world, and I were to line them all up, including you, from wealthiest to poorest, where would you end up? My kids are good kids, so they don't roll their eyes in front of me, at least. But they know the answer to this question. They know that they would be first in line. Maybe the off chance that they would be second, but they know that they're on the wealthiest part of the world. The same is true for us as adults. This may come as a surprise to some. In comparison to people all over the globe, you're wealthy. Just because you only see lavish wealth in front of you doesn't mean that the poverty you don't see ceases to exist. The second thing that we need to know about this passage and make ourselves aware of is that James isn't going on a rant here. He's not doing the Rick Mercer thing towards Canadian politics or the Stephen A. Smith thing towards sports. James is actually using a prophetic voice similar to what we would hear in the Old Testament. What he is saying is true, and it applies directly to some. But there is a deeper meaning that even if what he is saying doesn't apply directly to you, there are truths to learn about who God is through his words. So as we dive deeper into the passage, it leaves us with a few questions. How do we understand this passage? What is God saying to us through it? How do we apply it to our lives? Let me help this morning by maybe not answering those questions directly for you, but rather by bringing some reflection to the passage and allowing you to have your own conversation with God about the answers to those questions. My first reflection from wrestling with this passage over the past weeks is that it is wise to invest in our relationship with God. God doesn't have a problem with people being wealthy. Isn't that the opposite of what James is saying? Nope. Remember the example of Job. You'll remember that at the beginning of Job, Job is described as being wealthy. It says that he's the wealthiest person in the area. Well, you know the story of Job. Everything is taken away from him. There's conversations with friends and conversations with God. And do you remember what happens at the end of Job? Some of you would say, yeah, God restores everything he had. Actually, God doesn't. God actually gives double what Job had at the beginning. Job was wealthy before, but after, he was very wealthy. In fact, sometimes wealth is an expression of God's kindness. It's not the only one. It's not exclusively the one. But it can be God's kindness shown. So if God doesn't have a problem with people being wealthy, what is James saying here? Well, James is saying that there's a peculiar responsibility that falls to the rich. Jesus said that we should lay up our treasures in heaven, not on earth. but it's not evil or wrong to possess wealth. There is a particular concern in Scripture about the unique temptation of wealth, though, and what it can do to the soul. The Bible consistently warns against the vices which are snares of the rich. 1 Timothy 6 says that some people, because they crave money, end up piercing themselves with many sorrows. In fact, the Bible teaches that it's very difficult, although not impossible, for a rich person to have a relationship with God. Why? Because the only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus. You can't have a relationship with God by having a great credit score. You can't have a relationship with God by having lots of money. You can't have a relationship with God because you have lots of power. You can only have a relationship with God through Jesus. So Scripture pushes hard that wealth is not found in physical possessions, but rather in living godly, content lives, no matter the physical possessions that we have. So it's wise to invest into our relationship with God. My second reflection is that it's wise to invest in loving our neighbors. God ordained diversity. 1 Corinthians 4 is an interesting chapter of Scripture. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and there's something going on in the Corinthian church. They're debating over which church leader they like more, Paul or Apollos. And the church has gotten conflict around this area, and Paul writes to them and says, do you understand that it's not about Paul and it's not about Apollos? God has created each of these in unique ways. And because he's done that, these people can serve the church in wonderful ways. I love at the end of that chapter, Paul actually tells the Corinthian church, it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos. And actually, neither of those two men are going to return to the Corinthian church. He's actually going to send them Timothy. More diversity. You see, there's no artificial leveling process to make things equal. Rather, the equalization is to be rich in kindness and willing to share. Some have the ability to get financial wealth. Some live poor. Regardless, it's to take what we have been given and use it generously in the lives of others. It's wise to invest in loving our neighbors. The Bible also teaches us that God has a particular concern for the poor. In Psalm 68, God says that he will be the father to the fatherless. In Leviticus 19, he says to those who would own fields that when you reap the harvest from those fields, don't go to the very edges. Leave the edges. Don't pick up anything that falls to the ground. Leave that for those who are poor and can't afford to purchase the harvest. Allow them to be able to go into the fields themselves and pick some food for themselves. The Bible teaches that God's people are to be equally concerned as God is about those who are poor. And that God's judgment actually falls on his people for trampling on the heads of the poor. So James goes pretty hard on the wealthy in this passage. It's not about wealth being evil, but rather it's about wealth stealing our hearts away from God. Just like the 2.5-year-old boy wandered out of the yard and into the field because he saw something that attracted him, I think it's easy for us to become so enamored with the shiny attraction of wealth that we blindly end up working against the very heart of God, which is loving God and loving our neighbors. And so this is James's prophetic word to those who have already gone towards corruption and arrogance and cheating the innocent and turning their back on God for the pursuit of money. But even if we don't find ourselves in that category, we do learn that God doesn't take it easy on those who would destroy the lives of others in order to store up worldly goods. In contrast, James's wise words to us throughout this book is that God is near. If we patiently wait and trust on Him, we will see God bring everything together in the end. We've heard the words, faith equals trust. Putting our faith or our trust in anything besides God, whether that's wealth or money or power, will result in disappointment. But putting our faith in God will result in glorious life lived alongside our caring Creator. So let me repeat the questions I asked early. How do we understand this passage? What is God saying to us through it? How do we apply it to our lives? I don't presume to know what God is saying specifically to you today. But I do know that God is speaking to me about where wealth is taking me actually away from Him rather than towards Him. I would encourage you today to take those questions and ponder them. Don't turn this podcast off and just go on with your day. Take a few moments and hear James's words today and ask God to speak through them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hear Your heart today, that You desire to bless, that You desire to see Your people draw closer to You. Lord, we also hear today that You care for the poor, that You care for the powerless in our world. And so, Lord, would You speak to us today about what this means in our lives? Our hearts are open to Your voice today. In Your name, amen.